Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Isolated showers and thunderstorms from last night are on their way out, but some of that may redevelop this afternoon. I'll show you who has the best chance.
Plus, we're following breaking news from overnight. Two people are dead and three others hurt during two separate shootings in Durham. We have team coverage at the two scenes just miles apart.
And families who have lost someone to fentanyl will gather and rally here in front of the state legislative building to raise awareness. I'll explain their demands for lawmakers this morning.
So we're following those stories as well as what's going on right now on UCLA's campus. We'll get to that in just a bit. But first, we want to say thank you for joining us this morning on WRAL News and Fox 50. I'm Chris Lovingen.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Happy Wednesday. We made it halfway through the week. We're almost there. High five. The weather, not too bad. We did see a couple showers overnight. Elizabeth, I walked outside this morning and my car was wet. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it rained.
Yeah, same. I was like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, it was supposed to rain last night. And at least a little bit, just some patchy showers. And it was wet. On my car in Raleigh this morning, too. So from Raleigh down toward Fayetteville, eastward is where we saw some isolated showers. Those are all out of the viewing area at this point. That last little bit just slipping right out of Wayne County. But this is the area where we'll see some redevelopment. We'll have a lingering boundary there. And from the Triangle area south and east, we could have some more isolated showers and thunderstorms later on today. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds between now and then, clouding up a little bit closer to lunchtime. At around 2 or 3 in the afternoon, we could see a few isolated showers or a thunderstorm are two popping up. You can see here from Futurecast that the coverage will be pretty light. Looks like it's out of here completely by around 7 o'clock, and we'll see clearing skies. We're nice and dry for Thursday and Friday. Pretty sky here in Durham. Lots of blue there showing up. 67 is our temperature. We just have a light wind out at the southwest at 5 miles per hour. Heading out the door, temperatures are mostly in the mid to upper 60s right now, except Roxburgh is still at 57. It will be a warm day. We're back into the mid 80s for this afternoon, and we'll see 80s in the forecast for the next 7 days. We do have a better chance for showers, though, which may cool us off a touch over the weekend. Closer look coming up, Ken.
And it too, Elizabeth, we continue to monitor some congestion that's building up in the north side, just on the Beltline, just around Glenwood Avenue or so. It's really the morning rush hour that's the reason for that. This is the camera at the Beltline and Glenwood Avenue. You can see traffic is building this morning, just bumper to bumper traffic. We'll continue to monitor that and let you know exactly how much of a delay you might be running into. Another trouble spot this morning we've been following for the last half hour or so. This is a serious crash not far from Roseville. This is in the Forestville Road area in the southbound lanes. You can see it's causing a lot of congestion in that area, a lot of bumper-to-bumper traffic. I would suggest US 1 Capitol Boulevard, but as you can see, that's in having their own backup this morning as a result of that. So just be mindful of the police activity in that area. And this crash in downtown right now on Person Street in the northbound lane near Davie Street, we're seeing a little bit of a brake tapping going on there, but not enough to make you late if you're heading into the downtown area at this hour.
All right, thank you, Ken. Breaking news in Durham this morning. Two people, including someone under the age of 18, were killed during two separate shootings last night. They happened 2 hours apart from each other. The first shooting was on South Street. The second was on West Club Boulevard. We have team coverage this morning as police are at both of those scenes. And we'll begin with WRAL's Kelsey Coffey, who is on West Club Boulevard. Kelsey, you spoke with two people who live in the home where that shooting happened.
Michelle, those two people say that they were inside of this home whenever the shooting happened. They say that the three men that were shot were their roommates, and one of them is dead and two others are injured. Now, those two people weren't comfortable sharing their names or their roommates' names at this point. But let's take you straight to video now from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Police are still searching for a suspect, and this house is right across the street from Club Boulevard Elementary. We received an update from Durham Public Schools. They say classes will go on as scheduled, and a message will be sent out to parents. But there was another shooting that happened just 3 miles away from here on South Street, and that's where we find WRAL's Nick Perlin and the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. So, Nick, what can you tell us about that shooting?
Well, Kelsey, we know a juvenile was shot and killed, and we also know a woman was also shot and taken to the hospital. She's expected to recover, but this scene has been active all morning, and police arrived here at 10 o'clock, and you can still see police units here, a forensics unit here. I'm going to get behind the camera and show you this black SUV real quick. We saw investigators spend a lot of time at around 6 this morning shining flashlights through it, looking through it for more evidence, so that could be a key part of what they're trying to look for. To try to figure out what exactly happened here, I do want to show you this video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Again, this will give you an idea of what this scene looked like at around 10 when police arrived. Like I said, they found two people who were shot, a juvenile and a woman. Sadly, the juvenile did die. The woman is expected to make a full recovery, but we're still trying to figure out if there are any suspects in either of these shootings that Kelsey and I have been covering all morning. Once we have new information, we'll be sure to update you. Live in Durham, Nick Perlin, WRAL News.
And more breaking news. Crews from across southern Wake County worked to put out a fire in Willow Spring this morning. This is video from Sky 5. They flew over the scene on Walnut Glen Drive. Crews from Fuquay Varina, Garner, and Wake County were all there working to control the fire. We're working to learn more about what happened.
And working to learn more about this, a crash that closed part of I-87 overnight. This happened near the Hodge Road exit near Knightdale. This was just before 1 o'clock this morning. You're looking at video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. At least two cars were involved in the crash, and all lanes of the highway reopened shortly after 2 o'clock this morning.
We are closely watching NC State's campus. That's where hundreds of people marched in a pro-Palestinian demonstration last night. That protest started on campus and ended at the Wake County Detention Center. Demonstrators gathered there in support of a protester who was arrested. And the protest started at the Bell Tower before working its way up to Hillsborough Street. A protester who was arrested told us that she is willing to do whatever it takes to be heard.
I'm not scared. I'm not intimidated. I did what I had to do to be out here for Palestine. We will be heard by our universities. We will be heard by the community. And I stand by that.
And the protesters say they plan to continue to use their voices to support the Palestinian people.
UNC Chapel Hill's campus is calmer after protesters cleared campus. Police and pro-Palestinian protesters clashed all day yesterday. 36 protesters are charged with trespassing. The day started with police breaking up an encampment that had been on the quad for 5 days. The scene then turned violent in the day when protesters refused to leave campus. Police used pepper spray on some of them. Demonstrators took down the American flag on campus and then replaced it with a Palestinian one, but that flag was later restored by campus officials. And new this morning, police in New York have cleared a Columbia University building that protesters managed to enter and occupy. You're looking at video showing the moments officers entered the building. A student streamed this video showing officers removing protesters from the building. At least 100 people were arrested, but there are no reports of any injuries.
Families who have lost loved ones to fentanyl are meeting with state lawmakers this morning, and they'll talk about the dangers of the drug, what can be done to save lives, and also ask lawmakers to do something about this. WRAL's Laura Levine is outside the legislative building this morning, and Laura, families say there's a need for more support and also more public education.
Michelle, these families who have lost someone to fentanyl, they're going to have their faces on display here in front of the state legislative building this morning so lawmakers can see the faces of people who have died in their communities. And when we look at the data, we're talking about more than 17,000 North Carolinians who have died since 2013. So these nonprofits and several advocates will be out here pushing for naloxone to be in every school in the state. It's life-saving medication that can be administered through nasal spray if an opioid or fentanyl emergency occurs in a classroom. They're calling on the General Assembly to appropriate $350,000 of an opioid settlement that the state controls and to provide 2 boxes or 4 doses of naloxone to all public schools. Barb Walsh is the executive director for Fentanyl Victims Network, who is leading this charge.
I would like to put faces instead of numbers in people's minds, because when they look at somebody who is young and vibrant and now dead, they're like, oh, that could be me. That could be my son. That could be my daughter.
So this rally and press conference will begin at 10 o'clock this morning, followed by a meeting with lawmakers. Laura Levine, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
And the opioid crisis, specifically fentanyl overdoses, was the focus of a recent WREL documentary. Crisis Next Door, The Fentanyl Epidemic, is now available on WREL.com. You can look for that in the documentary section.
Coming up, the quest for the Stanley Cup enters round two for the Carolina Hurricanes. We are bringing all of the excitement from PNC as fans witnessed a showdown between the Canes and the Islanders.
And the Department of Justice is looking to loosen federal restrictions on marijuana. What it could mean for businesses and the people who use the drug. Elizabeth?
A small chance of afternoon and evening storms for parts of our viewing area, but a much better chance Saturday and Sunday. I'll walk you through both situations coming up.
Welcome back. On your Wednesday morning, you are looking live over a beautiful Chapel Hill. Nice sunny blue skies there. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. Some of you might have woken up this morning and saw a little bit of rain. I know I did in Raleigh. That rain is moving out, and we're in for a really nice day, Elizabeth.
We've got beautiful sunshine out there for most of us at this point. Still a little bit of lingering cloud cover in our southeastern counties east of I-95, where we've just seen that last bit of rain moving out of the area. But take a look at Durham. We're completely clear here, looking at 67. So temperatures are starting to warm up a little bit. We'll have a southwesterly wind again today, helping to keep things well above normal. We'll continue to have this lingering boundary. This is where we ended up with some showers and thunderstorms overnight last night. That boundary isn't going anywhere, and it'll be a focus again of some showers and storms this afternoon. After that, high pressure builds in with some sunshine for us on Thursday and Friday, and this is the front that arrives over the weekend, and we'll talk about the timeline for that coming up. We check out Futurecast, and you can see a good bit of sunshine, especially in the northern half of the viewing area this morning. But this afternoon, starting at around 2 o'clock or so, we'll see a few isolated cells that begin to pop up, especially south and east of the triangle. The coverage looks minimal. It's not likely to be anything terribly heavy. There might be a rumble of thunder or two, but it doesn't look like we'll have severe storms out of this. So our rain chances, again, Thursday is dry. Friday, maybe late night as that front gets closer to us. And then scattered showers and thunderstorms on Saturday and Sunday. Let's take a look at that. Futurecast continues to show some showers for us, even on Saturday morning. However, when we get the high resolution models that come in tomorrow, it may look more like afternoon and evening thunderstorms, but definitely we're watching that Saturday morning timeframe closely because of Race for the Cure. Of course, we got Ham and Yam coming up in Smithfield this weekend as well. So it's going to be a busy weekend. Sunday morning, same story, shows up with a little bit of light patchy rain before lunchtime, but a better chance of afternoon and evening thunderstorms. How much rainfall? Likely to see a half an inch to an inch of rain total for Saturday and Sunday, and we definitely need the rain. We only in April ended up with about an inch of rain. That puts us at about 2.5 inches behind, and in Fayetteville, almost 2 inches, so about 1.25 inches behind. We definitely need some rain. But a little bit of good news for folks who are wishing for rain. I know my yard is really thirsty right now. The outlook for the month of May is for above normal precipitation. So hopefully we'll catch up from such a dry April. Saturday, we are proud sponsors of the Komen Race for the Cure. A lot of folks love that race. It's a fun one. I haven't done it in a while, but it's such a great race and a great cause. We'll be watching that weekend forecast closely. Highs are in the 80s all the way into early next week. Ken?
Elizabeth, we have a handful of minor crashes dotting the traffic map this morning, but I do want to show you a few troubled spots that we've been monitoring for the last half hour or so. This one in the Falls of Neuse Road area in the southbound lanes near Huntington Ridge Road. It's causing a bit of brake tapping in that area, not causing any major delays in that area, but you might want to look for some police activity if you're navigating that area this morning. This serious crash we've been monitoring there just south of Roseville. This is on Forestville Road in the southbound lanes near Blinson Street. It's causing some major backups in that area right now. If you're looking for an alternate route, you could do US 1 Capitol Boulevard coming into the capital city. But again, that's seeing its share of backups this morning as well. A couple of crashes that we've been monitoring here in the downtown area. Both of them really on Person Street, one near P Street, the other one near Davie. Neither is causing any major delays in that area. So just in case you're heading to the downtown area, nothing to worry about. In Durham, very little to no delays, except for maybe coming in from 50 on Highway 98. You got about a 5-minute delay. But other than that, smooth sailing in the Bull City.
Jeff Hogan of the WRO Live Center. I want to take you to some video from overnight. This happened around 2 a.m. on UCLA's campus. So take you out to Los Angeles here to see fireworks going off here at an encampment. A pro-Palestinian rally there. Clashes broke out because there were dueling demonstrations. There were, anti-groups there as well as the pro-Palestinian groups. And the crowd grew here. They were surrounded by this encampment and some barriers there. But the protesters set off those fireworks. May have been pepper spray as well, as you see them trying to knock down some of the barriers there. The demonstrators used umbrellas at times. You see them here to try to shield themselves from some of the pepper spray as university campus police showed up there on that scene briefly, and then they left and allowed these two to go at it. And you see what a scene it ended up being.
Sorry. Thanks, Jeff. A Kansas community will begin the process of cleaning up after a deadly tornado hit the area. The tornado touched down in Westmoreland, Kansas, which is about an hour away from Topeka. One person was killed. Three others were hurt. More than 20 homes were destroyed as the twister ripped through that city. A temporary shelter is open to help people who lost their homes. And take a look at the storm damage out of Oklahoma. A tornado tore through the town of Cordell yesterday, causing damage to buildings and homes there. The entire town is without power. Many residents were out patching roofs and cleaning up quickly hours after the storm. So far, no injuries have been reported there.
This afternoon, the Federal Reserve will announce its interest rate decision. And at last check, the Fed wasn't expected to make any immediate changes to interest rates. The annual inflation rate fell from 9.1% in June of 2022 to 3.1% in January of this year. The inflation rate has been stuck around that level since. The decision will be announced this afternoon.
The federal restrictions for marijuana could soon become looser. The Justice Department began the process of making it a Schedule III drug. Other drugs in this category include ketamine and Tylenol with codeine. For the last 50 years, marijuana was a Schedule I substance in the same class as heroin and ecstasy. The change could ease criminal penalties and help marijuana businesses bank more freely. The process of reclassifying the drug, it'll take months. And the World Central Kitchen is once again feeding people in Gaza. This comes after a month after an airstrike killed seven of its workers. In a post to X, the organization said it served 200,000 meals to displaced Palestinians yesterday. The nonprofit says there are 276 trucks ready to enter with enough food for 8 million meals.
Class will continue today at Northway College and Career Academy. It closed yesterday because the principal died. Elizabeth Battle died Monday, and she joined Northway as principal in July of 2017. Parents and caregivers can contact Transitions Grief Care for free service to help any students struggling during this time.
Today is May 1st, marking the start of National Mental Health Month. Psychologists say it's okay to not be okay, encouraging people to reduce the stigmas surrounding mental health disorders and seek help. The National Institute of Mental Health estimates that more than one in five adults are living with a mental illness. This, as data from the National Alliance on Mental Illness reveals that one in six kids ages 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder every year.
The self-confidence that we can handle difficult situations is something that if we can teach kids and have these experiences for children that they get through difficult times, then as adults, when you're faced with difficult times, you're more likely to be able to cope with it.
And because kids can have a harder time putting their feelings into words, psychologists suggest parents take the time to talk to their kids, especially about the amount of social media they consume every day. Experts also warn that levels of mental health issues like eating disorders and body dysmorphia could worsen as artificial intelligence and filters become more integrated into social media platforms.
Kaniacs are waking up reveling in last night's win against the Islanders, and Aaron Thomas was there for all the action and shares the excitement as the quest for the cup now continues into round two.
Do you see and hear this behind me? Cheerful Kaniacs certainly got their money's worth with this showdown between the Canes and the New York Islanders. I want to go over some of the highlight moments just within the first 5 minutes of the first period, you had two players score two goals. Of course, this is sports, so anything can happen. It did not take long for the New York Islanders to answer back, and both teams were eventually tied 3-3 in the second period. Now we get to the third period. You had two goals back-to-back just within 9 seconds of each other. That certainly got the crowd rocking. Of course, it got everybody living up to the name, the loudest house in the NHL.
And maybe tell us about that momentum, you know, when the crowd is hyped, how it helps the team moving forward.
Oh, yeah, it for sure turns up the environment. It gets the team going. It gets them pumped. It's just a home field advantage, like they say. You know, once it gets loud in there, everybody Woo! Wants it.
Confidence. I mean, the guys have confidence right now. You can see it all the way down the bench, and they're a well-taught team. I mean, they got Rod.
And you can see the result of the Canes successfully defending the home ice. They will now advance to round two in the Stanley Cup playoff series. Aaron Thomas, WRO News in Raleigh.
And we are now in May, and the month has special significance to the fastest growing racial demographic in our state. It's AAPI Heritage Month, and that stands for Asian American and Pacific Islander. The population has grown 80% in the triangle over the last decade. Asian, Indian, and Chinese make up the largest ethnic groups. You can look for stories highlighting the AAPI experience here on WRAL.
Columbia University's campus now clear after hundreds of arrests were made. The tactics NYPD used to get protesters out of a campus building as the university asks for more security on campus.
Plus, two people dead and others injured after two separate shootings in Durham. We have live coverage this morning in just a bit.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Starting off our day sunny, we did have some rain overnight in some areas. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner shows us that rain is moving out and we have a beautiful day.
It is out of here and our skies are clearing with gorgeous sunshine. But this area south and east of the triangle is where we could see some redevelopment of a few isolated showers and thunderstorms later on today. We're just talking a 20% chance and it's likely to be along or east of I-95. We take a look at Apex. Beautiful sunny skies right now. Our temperatures are in the mid to upper 60s currently as you're heading out the door with a lot of sunshine. Walking the dog middle of the afternoon in the mid 80s. But if you're waiting until the evening, we drop into the 70s pretty quickly.
Elizabeth, traffic has definitely picked up on the Beltline and on I-40 westbound. This is a live look from I-40 and Lake Wheeler Road. The westbound lanes are going away from us. And this is usually the morning congestion that we see this time of the morning. Basically, it's happening in both directions. We'll keep monitoring it and keep you updated just in case any issues pop up as well. Elsewhere around the triangle, there's just a couple of minor crashes in the downtown area, not causing any major delays if you're heading into the downtown area.
Thanks, Ken. We're following breaking news in Durham. Two deadly shootings happened less than 2 hours apart. We know two people are dead, including a juvenile, and three others are hurt. The first happened on South Street, the other about 3 miles away on West Club Boulevard. And this morning, families who have lost loved ones to fentanyl will rally and talk about the dangers of the drug. They're calling for naloxone to be at every school in the state. They also want lawmakers to approve $350,000 of an opioid settlement. Next on Fox 50, a look ahead at the Canes' next game as they move on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And coming up next on Today, it's College Decision Day. Students are live on the plaza to announce where they're headed to college.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Taking a look at radar, the last bit of rain from last night has slipped eastward, but this is an area where we could see more showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon. I'll show you the timeline.
And we are following two breaking news stories from Durham. Two people were killed in two separate shootings and three others were hurt. We have live team coverage from the crime scenes just miles apart.
And the Carolina Hurricanes, they are moving on. Fans are on top of the world this morning after the Canes defeated the New York Islanders. They are moving on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And guess what? They're playing my New York Rangers.
Oh, you're so excited this
morning. I'm so excited. Ready. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Chris Lovingood. Do you know what Michelle did this morning?
What did
she made chocolate chip banana cake, and she wanted to know how I liked it. I thought it was great.
It was
I just had some a little bit ago.
Are you just saying that because we're on TV?
No, I'm dead serious. Okay. In fact, I would love to take a piece, go outside right now, enjoy the beautiful weather we're waking up to. We had a little rain this morning, but still, I'd enjoy some cake outside, Elizabeth.
This is going to be a really short weather segment because I'm about to run back there and get some. That sounds delicious. We did have some isolated showers and thunderstorms from Raleigh southward and eastward. Those have moved on out. We're seeing a good bit of sunshine, still some lingering cloud cover close to where those showers were. But we do have this boundary that is lingering here, and from the Triangle area eastward, especially along and east of I-95, that's where we'll have another chance for some isolated showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, starting after lunchtime, ending around dinner time. High pressure builds in for Thursday and Friday with lots of sunshine, but this is our weekend front, and it will start to bring us some rain, potentially late Friday night and on and off through the weekend. We'll walk through that coming up in just a little bit. We're looking at a mix of sun and clouds for today. Notice right there at 2 or 3 o'clock, we start to see an isolated shower or thunderstorm pop up, but notice the coverage is minimal. Most of us won't see it, and none of that looks like it'll be severe. We clear out tonight, and again, we're nice and dry for the next few days. A beautiful in Durham right now, nothing but sunshine, 67 degrees with a southwest wind at about 5 miles per hour, and we're climbing into the mid to upper 60s. We've even hit 70 now in Rocky Mount. Hour by hour, it's going to be another hot afternoon with temperatures in the mid 80s. Of course, with the heat, we also look at the potential for the humidity to climb. I'll show you what it looks like through the rest of the week coming up, Ken.
Elizabeth, a busy morning commute. I want to take you right outside and show you exactly what we're talking about here. This is a live look at I-40 and Lake Wheeler Road. You can see the congestion in both directions, mainly in the westbound lanes heading away from us, the eastbound lanes as well. Some brake tapping going on, but that's something to be mindful of if you're getting ready to head out and I-40 is part of your morning commute. A couple of crashes on 401 that we wanted to talk about. This near Roseville as well. This crash just happened a little while ago on Lewisburg Road near Perry Creek Road, and that's causing some issues there in that area. You might want to look for some police activity because it's causing quite a bit of traffic in that area. Another serious crash, this one on Forestville Road in the southbound lane near Blinson Street. 401 is shaping up to be quite a mess this morning, so you might want to be mindful of that if you're heading out this morning. Elsewhere in the Triangle area, this crash on Highway 751 near Stagecoach Road, it's causing some major delays in that area. I'm looking around for an alternate route. Give me about 10 minutes. I'll fill you in.
Right, we'll check back with you in just a bit, Ken. Thank you. We're still following that breaking news from overnight in Durham. Two deadly shootings less than 2 hours apart. Two people, including a juvenile, are dead and three others are injured. The first shooting happened on South Street with the second one happening on West Club Boulevard. We do have team coverage this morning as police are at both of those scenes at last check. We'll start with WREL's Kelsey Coffey, who is on West Club Boulevard. Kelsey, you spoke with two people who live in the house where that shooting happened.
Chris, I did, and those two people say that they were inside of this house when the shooting happened. They say that the three men who were shot were their roommates. One of those men is dead, and the two others are injured. They weren't comfortable with sharing their names or their roommates' names at this point, but let's take you to video now from the WREL Breaking News Tracker. Police are still searching for a suspect. This house is right across the street from Club Boulevard Elementary. We did receive an update from Durham Public Schools. They say classes are happening as scheduled today. And parents should be receiving a message a little bit later. And there was another shooting that happened just 3 miles away from here on South Street. And we're working to find out whether these two shootings were related. But Nick Perlin is there in the WREL Breaking News Tracker. Nick, can you give us an update on what's happened there?
Well, Kelsey, the scene's still active here, but in the last 30 minutes or so, police have actually removed the crime scene tape on this stretch of South Street and are now focusing more on Umstead Street behind me. I'm going to get behind the camera and give you a better look. You can still see a Durham police unit right here, and forensics is still on scene as well as other investigators trying to find out what exactly led up to this shooting. I do want to get you to some video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker. This is from around 10 last night when this shooting happened, when Durham police arrived, they did find two people who were shot. One was a juvenile, one was a woman. Both were taken to the hospital, but sadly, the juvenile died. The woman is expected to recover, but like Kelsey said, there's still a lot of questions that we're asking right now, such as if these two shootings were related and if Durham police have any suspects at this time. We're going to keep pressing for information this morning, and once we have updates, we'll be sure to update you. Live in Durham, Nick Perlin, WREL News.
We're also pushing for answers in this story here. Crews from across southern Wake County worked to put out a fire in Willow Springs this morning. You're seeing video from WREL Sky 5 over the scene on Walnut Glen Drive. You can see
the firefighters there on the ground. Crews from Fuquay, Varina, Garner, and Wake County were all there trying to control the fire. But WREL is trying to learn exactly how that fire was sparked.
And we're also working to learn more about a crash that had part of I-87 closed overnight. The crash happened on I-87 North near the Hodge Road exit just before 1 o'clock this morning. This is video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker. At least two cars were involved in the crash. All lanes of the highway reopened shortly after 2 o'clock this morning.
And new this morning, at least 100 people were arrested last night on Columbia University's campus in New York. This happened as police were clearing pro-Palestinian protesters from a university building. Notice on your screen here, police entering that administrative building through a second floor window. They used a vehicle with a ramp on it just to get inside. And new pictures and videos released from the university shows overturned and stacked furniture, broken windows, and other damage to the building. The university has asked the NYPD to monitor the campus through at least May 17th.
And we are closely watching the campus of NC State, where hundreds of people marched in a pro-Palestinian demonstration last night. The protest started at the Bell Tower before working its way up Hillsborough Street. Demonstrators eventually reached out to Tally Student Union. One protester was arrested.
And it's a calm, quiet morning at UNC Chapel Hill after protesters were cleared from that campus here locally. Police and pro-Palestinian protesters clashed all day yesterday. 36 protesters are charged with trespassing. The day started with police breaking up an encampment that had been on the quad for at least 5 days. The scene turned violent later in the day when protesters refused to leave campus. Police did have to use pepper spray on them at some point, we're told. Demonstrators took down the American flag on campus and replaced it with a Palestinian one, but that flag was later restored by campus officials. And new this morning, a Durham County juvenile is facing several charges after bringing a gun to school. That teenager was arrested yesterday at the City of Medicine Academy after school leaders alerted deputies about an alleged social media post. It's one where that person threatened another student. Deputies searched the teen's book bag and found a 9mm handgun. The teen faces charges of possession of a firearm on campus and possession of a firearm of a minor.
Families who have lost loved ones to fentanyl are calling on North Carolina lawmakers to do more to save lives. WREL's Laura Levine is outside the legislative building this morning. And Laura, those families, they plan to hold a rally there today to share their plan and what they want lawmakers to address.
Yeah, Michelle, good morning. These families are going to have their photos of their loved ones on display here in front of the legislative building, really showing lawmakers the faces of the people who have died in their communities from fentanyl. And when we look at the data, we're talking about more than 17,000 North Carolinians who have died since 2013. So many of these nonprofits and advocates right now, they are pushing for naloxone to be in every school in the state. That is life-saving medication that can be administered through nasal spray if an opioid or fentanyl emergency occurs in a classroom. They're calling on the General Assembly to appropriate $350,000 of an opioid settlement that the state controls and to provide two boxes of four doses of naloxone to all public schools. Barb Walsh is the executive director for Fentanyl Victims Network, who's leading this charge.
A lot of families will hear the word overdose and they're just tune up. It's not going to be my kid. But when you talk about it as an opioid or a fentanyl emergency, then they're listening.
Today's press conference will begin at 10 a.m., followed by a meeting with lawmakers. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
And the opioid crisis, specifically fentanyl overdoses, was the focus of a recent WREL documentary, Crisis Next Door, The Fentanyl Epidemic. It's available right now on WREL.com. Look for it in the documentary section.
In a new interview with Time magazine, former President Donald Trump is giving the clearest picture yet of what his second term in office would look like. Trump told Time magazine that he would use the National Guard and possibly the military to deport migrants. He also isn't ruling out building new detention camps. Trump also said he would not sign a national abortion ban and would leave the decision up to the states. But he didn't rule out allowing states to monitor pregnancies to know if women get an abortion. In response, President Biden called that, quote, reprehensible, end quote, and said that, quote, Donald Trump doesn't trust women.
The Carolina Hurricanes are moving on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Canes beat the New York Islanders last night at PNC Arena 6-3 in Game 5. That gave the Canes win number 4 to close out the series and advance. They will play the New York Rangers next. And coming up in 10 minutes, WREL's Casey Hintz and Pat Welter break down last night's win and look ahead to the next round.
We are learning more about the 4 officers who were shot and killed in Charlotte. What we know about the men and the wives and the children they leave behind.
And we'll take you live out to Lake Gaston this morning. A beautiful morning there. Elizabeth Gardner explains when we could see some rain later today and this weekend.
It's 8:44, taking a live look at Dual Doppler 5000 radar. We had some isolated showers and thunderstorms last night from the Triangle area southward. That has all shifted eastward. But the boundary that helped to create those showers and storms is going to stick around. And this afternoon, once we get into our daytime heating, we may see a few of those develop. Here's a look at that boundary right now. Again, what we saw last night has shifted eastward. But again, with that sun's energy this afternoon, we may see a few more isolated showers and storms. We'll walk through that on Futurecast coming up. That high pressure system is associated with clear skies. That's starting to creep in, and we're going to see a lot of sunshine this afternoon as well as tomorrow and Friday. But this is Saturday's and Sunday's front. That cold front slides on in and will bring us the best chance of rain all week. Wouldn't you know it, over the weekend. We'll take a look at that in a bit. This morning, we're looking at, it's a mix of sun and clouds. There's our boundary there. It's a what we call a trough, which acts like a weak front. And a few isolated showers pop up. That's 3 p.m. I mean, the coverage is really limited on this. This is the new run of the computer model, and it looks even drier than the run before. We definitely need the rain. It may be that over the weekend, we ended up getting some significant rainfall in the rain gauges. We certainly do need it. In the meantime, we're starting to clear out a little bit. Pretty sky here in Fayetteville, partly cloudy. And we'll be partly cloudy to mostly sunny, at least on through the next few hours this afternoon. When we get a little more heating and a bit more moisture in the atmosphere, we may see the clouds thickening up again, especially around Fayetteville and in our southern towns. 67 right now. We climb to around 80 at lunchtime, and we'll be in the mid-80s for highs this afternoon. Our winds are pretty light, anywhere from around calm to 5 to 8 miles per hour. We may be gusting up to 10 to 15 later this afternoon. 84 in Raleigh, 85 in Durham, and in Fayetteville this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, and we've crept back to 62 for our dew point. Once that dew point gets in the 60s, it's noticeable. Once it's in the upper 60s to 70s, it just feels oppressive. So we're getting in that middle range. It does look like it'll drop off some tomorrow. It'll be a little drier and more comfortable, but over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, it'll be in the mid to upper 60s because we have rain in the forecast. 77 is our normal high, and our highs will stay in the 80s all the way into early next week. Our best chance for hitting 90 for the first time this year come on Friday and again on Tuesday. Over the weekend, we'll likely have afternoon and evening thunderstorms. We're watching the mornings carefully, especially Saturday morning because of the race for the cure, but a lot of events happening over the weekend. So keep checking back for updates on that forecast, Ken.
Elizabeth, all new in the WREL Traffic Center. We're just getting word of a crash that happened just in the last 10 minutes or so on the Durham Freeway. We're working to get some more information about it. And as soon as we do, of course, we'll update you. This is in the northbound lanes. You can see right now on 885. It's causing some bit of brake tapping in the area. Again, as we get more information about that, we'll let you know. If you want to see some congestion going on, take a look at what's happening on I-40 and Lake Wheeler Road. The westbound lanes are heading away from us. The eastbound lanes heading toward us. This is part of the usual morning commute that we see there this morning. A couple of crashes that we've been monitoring on 401 this morning have cleared, but you can see there's still lingering backups there in that area on 401 just south of Roseville. Just keep that in mind if that's part of your morning commute. This reminder, the Athens Drive Bridge will be closed. It's closed right now. It will be closed until 9 p.m. tonight for construction. Expect delays in that area.
Ken, thanks. We are learning more about the law enforcement officers who were killed by a shooter in Charlotte. These men were all husbands. They were all fathers with years of experience in their agencies. Deputy U.S. Marshal Thomas Weeks was among the 4 fallen officers. He was with the U.S. Marshal Service for 13 years and leaves behind a wife and 4 children. 6-year veteran Charlotte officer Joshua Iyer leaves behind a wife and son. A memorial service for him is planned for Friday. Sam Palocci was a 14-year veteran of the Department of Adult Correction and survived by his wife and 2 children. And then there is Alden Elliott, who was also with that department for 14 years. He leaves behind a wife and a child. The man to whom they were trying to serve a warrant when the shooting started was also killed.
A ban on most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy is now in effect in Florida. The new law went into effect just after midnight. The ban makes it a felony to perform an abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. That gives a woman about 2 weeks after a missed period to realize that she's pregnant if she wants to get an abortion. The new law has sparked protests across the state. An amendment to protect the right to an abortion is on the state's November ballot.
The Canes return home for Game 5 with one thing in mind. Finish the Islanders off and move on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here's WREL's Casey Hintz and Pat Welter with a recap.
Yeah, hey, good morning, everyone. Casey Hintz alongside Pat Welter. It is quiet now, but last night it was absolutely rocking inside PNC Arena as the Carolina Hurricanes took care of the New York Islanders 6-3 the final. They take the series 4-1 as they advance now to the second round of the playoffs.
Carolina Hurricanes with a great start in this game, but there's a reason they say it's about the finish. And to me, that was the story of the series. Carolina, 2 goals in 8 seconds to seal the game, a 10-2 goal differential in the third period in overtime, a sign of greater things to come.
This is what makes a good team is, you know, how we come out and how we face a little adversity. Obviously, Freddie's been keeping us in it for, you know, this whole entire series. And, yeah, I thought we were pretty good towards the end there. And I thought once we got that lead again, we held it on.
Now, Steph Nason has played alongside Jack Drury most of the season. Drury got the game winner last night. So I asked Steph, you know, what it's been like to watch the kid grow his game, also mature. And he said, you know, it's been so much fun to watch. He's so happy he got that goal. He said, sometimes I wish he was my son.
And you know, some of the older guys on the team are glad they wrapped this thing up in 5 because the New York Rangers await, who already swept the Washington Capitals. Brady Shea told us they did not want to get back on the plane to Long Island. Back to you guys.
That's Pat Welter and Casey Hintz. And Canes fans are getting used to seeing their team win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They are the first team in nearly 25 years to win a first-round playoff series 6 seasons in a row.
May 1st is Labor Day in Turkey, and these are some May Day protests going on right now near the historic Central Square in Istanbul. Police are there. They've detained dozens of people who tried to get into that square after the government had banned marking Labor Day at this landmark location. The police fired tear gas and rubber bullets. More than 40,000 police deployed across Istanbul, blocking off side streets even with metal barriers, trying to prevent those protesters from gathering there.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. New this morning, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv meeting with Israeli leaders. He is hoping to get more aid to Gaza. Before meeting with Israeli President Isaac Herzog, Blinken spoke about his priorities.
No excuses. The time is now. And the time is now, long past due, to bring the hostages home to their families.
Blinken is also urging Hamas for a temporary ceasefire, Israel as Blinken's last stop on his visit to the Middle East. Our teacher of the week didn't initially think about a career in education. Ken Smith introduces us to a teacher who found her calling after a stint in the classroom as a substitute.
We've also been practicing annotating.
Helen Batch is a special education teacher at Riverbend Middle School.
Okay, look at Skylar.
After spending time as a longtime sub in a special ed class more than 20 years ago, her career path changed.
And I very quickly learned that that was my passion. That was where I belonged. And from there, I've been in special education ever since.
From the nomination letter we received, Mrs. Batch is known for dedicating herself wholeheartedly to her students.
My main goal is for a child to never remain the same from when I first meet them.
That's why she keeps a butterfly on her classroom door.
When they first come to me, they might be like a little caterpillar. And my goal is when they leave me, they are butterflies that they can fly and go on their own. That is my mission.
Mrs. Batch plans to retire at the end of this school year, but her life dedicated to serving others is far from over.
My desire is for one day for somebody to give me a key to a home so that I can open and run a transitional home while I'm still serving people, because my passion is serving.
Mrs. Batch, you are WREL's Teacher of the Week. Congratulations.
Ken Smith, WREL News.
So very well deserved. If you would like to nominate a teacher, go to WREL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
And we'll go into a break here in just a bit. We'll see you in just a moment.